Hallo liebe Weltall-Fans, heute übernimmt wieder Paul Salazar das Mikro und führt euch durch den spätwinterlichen Nachthimmel. Viel Spaß!
I'm outside right now, in a meadow, in the city of Munich. It's 7 in the evening and as the sky darkens, almost fully dark now, I'm looking up into the sky to observe some of the most spectacular stars and night sky objects. It's March, late winter. It's cold outside, around 5 degrees centigrade, 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and I'm dressed up warm so I can stand outside tonight and tell you about the night sky, because this time of year it is absolutely amazing. So join me on a short tour where we'll focus on the southern part of the sky and enjoy this spectacular view into the heavens. Hello, astronomy and space fans. You have landed at Translunar, the podcast from the Folksternwarte München. We inform you about current astronomy topics and dive deeper into specific themes. My name is Paul Salazar, and I am an amateur astronomer and member of the Folksternwarte. And I'm glad that you're joining us today. Today for me is the end of a beautiful sunny day. But being late winter, a sunny day turns into a cool and crisp evening. There's no clouds, so there's nothing holding in the heat, and things cool off quickly. But they reveal a brilliant night sky. And in this podcast tonight, I invite you to join me. To join me right now. What I mean is, put on your earbuds or your headphones so you can walk outside with a view and do exactly what I am doing. Look up directly into the night sky. Because I'm going to describe to you what you're looking at and give you a guide to some of the best stars in the entire night sky. But you can enjoy this in the privacy of your own yard, or meadow, or park, or garden, or wherever you may land. So let's do that, shall we? But first, let me give you some guidelines. The first and most important one is when you're going to go out to look at the night sky, you have to dress warm. If you're going to enjoy yourself, you have to put on what you think are enough clothes to stay warm, and then, just before you go out, add one more layer. An extra jacket, hat, gloves, something. Because you may think you're dressed up for the cool weather, but in fact, when you get outside to see the stars and you're standing still for more than a few minutes, the cold can descend right into your bones, and then it's no fun. So believe me when I say, dress warm and put on that extra layer. My second rule or guideline is to go to a spot that has a wide open space and that has, if possible, no street lights. You'll do yourself a favor. Now, I know it's not easy to do that, but I, for example, live near the Englischer Garten here in Munich, and I can pedal my bike over here to this open meadow where I'm standing right now. A very wide open space, and very important, it doesn't have street lights anywhere nearby. It allows your eyes to get dark adapted. So I know that, you know, doing this here in the city, there's light pollution overhead. But if there's no clouds in the sky like tonight, and the sky is dry, that's going to reflect less of the city light. So the goal is, even if you're in a city, just go to a park, a space, an open space, something away from the streetlights that will help your eyes to be at their best, to be the most receptive. Which naturally leads me to the next rule. Be patient. If you just walk outside from your house on any given night when you're in a well-lit room and you look up to the sky, you're not going to see many stars. Even if they're all there to be seen, you're not going to see them because your eyes need to adapt. You literally just don't see them at first. So you have to have patience and give yourself a few minutes And then gradually you'll start to see more and more. And by the way, if you can pick a night when there's not a very bright moon, let's say at new moon to first quarter or after the full moon is not shining anymore, then you're going to also have a better chance to see more stars. But that takes me to the final rule, and that is to be spontaneous. The weather changes, and for me right now, tonight is a perfect night. I dropped everything I was doing so I could come on out to the meadow and enjoy the night sky with you. If you say, I'll wait till tomorrow, well, it could be a worse sky. It could be a terribly bad sky. So my advice is to seize the moment, be spontaneous, and just do it. So, by now you've probably had a chance to dress warmly. You've put on your earbuds or your headphones. Hopefully you've walked out to a good spot for viewing. And let's begin our tour. As I mentioned, we're going to look to the south. And it's March, which is late winter going into early spring. And this southern sky in this time of year is really where all the action is at. And starting in the south, high up in the sky this time of the evening is Orion. It's a constellation that should be very obvious and very clear. How do you know it's there? There's two bright stars above, two bright stars below, and in the middle, three stars in a row, very compact, that form the belt. So we're looking at Orion the Hunter. The belt is in the middle. The two stars above are his shoulders. The two stars below, his kneecaps. To the lower left of Orion is his hunting dog, Canis Major. And to his upper right is his prey, Taurus the Bull. We'll come back to those two in a few moments. But here I am in March of 2024, and I can tell you, when you found Orion, off to the right, you're going to have a very bright object. That object is a planet, the planet Jupiter, which is currently in the constellation Aries. And over the course of the next weeks and months, it's going to be gradually moving to the east, to the left. But we'll save that story for another podcast. So let's go back to where we are. You have found Orion, which is so big and so dominant and so easy to spot with those three belt stars and those four bright stars above and below. We're going to use Orion as an anchor. We're going to start and finish there for our grand tour around the winter night sky. And what we're going to be looking at is an asterism, that is a grouping of bright stars, called the Winter Circle, also called the Winter Hexagon. Six bright stars that form a big oval in the sky. So here's what we'll do. To start with, we'll stay in Orion right now. If you look below the three stars that make the belt to the two lower stars, I call them the kneecaps, you'll notice the right star is clearly the brighter of the two. It has a name. It's called Rigel. And it's the seventh brightest star in the entire night sky. And if you look carefully, you're going to notice it's a blue-white giant star. Stars have color. Some are more blue, some are more orange and red, or yellow, or just plain old white. But Rigel is a very obvious blue-white star. That becomes the first point on our hexagon of six stars. To get to the next star, we're going to use a little trick that a lot of people in astronomy use. We're going to use the belt of Orion, those three stars in the middle that are very close together, as an arrow pointing up to the right. Now, if you follow up to the right, it's not a perfect arrow, but it's pretty good. It's going to take you to a part of the sky where you're going to find our next bright star. It's called Aldebaran. And as I mentioned, it's in the constellation Taurus, the bull. That's the prey that Orion the Hunter is hunting. And Aldebaran is the 14th brightest star. It's a giant star like Rigel. But instead of having a blue color, this one has more of a, if you look carefully, I can see a bit of a yellow-orange tinge to it. Now, to get to the next star, you're going to have to look way up high, almost directly overhead, to our next bright star. It's called Capella, the sixth brightest star in the entire night sky. Capella is in a constellation called Auriga, the charioteer, which is actually a smaller circle, which includes Capella and four other stars. It forms a pentagon, a five-pointed circle, straight up overhead. And the star Capella itself is quite interesting. It's a double-double. That means it's a grouping of two stars very close to each other, which each are themselves a double star. So it's a double-double. You can't see it with the naked eye, but with a really good telescope, you can certainly split the two stars of Capella apart from each other. Now we're going to follow around to the lower left of Capella, and you'll quickly see as you come down to the left a pair of stars that are almost the same brightness. You might say they look like twins, which in fact is what ancient astronomers definitely called those two, the twins of Gemini. Those twins are known as Castor, which is the upper of the two, and Pollux, which is the lower of the two. Now, Pollux is brighter. It's the 17th brightest star in the entire night sky. And in the constellation Gemini, those two stars would be the heads of the twins, Castor and Pollux. Their bodies are off to the right, not as bright, but still, that's another good constellation to get acquainted with. Finally, if you continue down the hexagon circle, this oval, below Castor and Pollux, now you're going to land at a star all by itself called Procyon. Very bright star, the eighth brightest star in the entire night sky. It is the brightest star in Canis Minor, the little dog. Actually, Orion has two hunting dogs, the big dog and the little dog. And this one here, there's not much to see in the constellation, but Procyon itself is a great, easy target to find. But then that takes us down further to the lower left, to the next and clearly the brightest star of this entire winter hexagon, Sirius, sometimes called the dog star, because it's the eye of the big dog, Canis Major. And that brings us back around to Orion the Hunter. So that is our winter hexagon. Starting from the lower right of Orion, we have Rigel. Going up to the right to Aldebaran and Taurus. Straight overhead to Capella in Auriga. Around to the left side, the twins of Gemini, Castor, and Pollux. Further down to the little dog, Canis Minor, and Procyon. And finally, all the way down around to the left to Sirius in Canis Major, the big dog. So, remember those three stars we used in Orion, the belt stars, they helped us to find Aldebaran up to the right. You'll notice if you follow them down to the left, they roughly point to Sirius, the dog star. But it also takes us to another interesting object. So let's go ahead and follow it up to the right again. And we had the star Aldebaran. But if you go a little more to the right, following that same trajectory, you're going to come to a little glowing patch of sky where there is a fantastic cluster of stars called the Pleiades. That's in the astrological lore, the seven sisters. And most people, if you look at it, if you have a clear sky and good vision, you're going to see actually six stars. And they're shaped like a tiny little dipper. And it's pretty easy to spot because it glows with this beautiful blue-white glow. But here takes me to another topic, is to use binoculars. Now, I use binoculars all the time for stargazing. And many people don't think about that. They may own a pair of binoculars they use for nature, for bird watching. But if you take out your binoculars at night and you look at some of these objects, you see amazing things. The Pleiades are a perfect example. When you look at those through binoculars, it is riveting because you capture so much more of the intensity of this cluster. And the six I said you can see with the naked eye are just the tip of the iceberg. There's literally hundreds more. And they're all about the same age, and they're all around the same temperature, so they're glowing with this beautiful blue-white color. If you then take the binoculars, look a little bit off to the right at Jupiter, Jupiter is interesting to look at through the binoculars. You can see usually the four big moons of Jupiter. They're very close, but you would be able to distinguish them. But then if we turn our attention with the binoculars back to Orion, and back to those three belt stars that we've been using to find other objects, well, we can use it to find something else that's quite spectacular. If you take the three belt stars, you start at the middle star and you go down, you'll see what looks like three more stars. They're a bit fainter. We call it the sword. The sword is hanging from the belt. And if you look at those three stars, actually, the middle one is not a star. And when you look through binoculars, you can clearly and quickly see one of the most amazing objects in the entire night sky, the Orion Nebula. So the nebula is where you had a supernova in the past that has really released lots of dust and material. There are other stars around it that are newly born, that are glowing, and there's such great colors there. Now, let me give you a cautionary word here that it's not going to look like Hubble Space Telescope, right? You're looking through binoculars at a very faint object. You're going to see a glowing patch in the sky with colors and some starlight. But it is amazing to look at with the binoculars because it just jumps out at you as a very special part of the sky. Another thing about this part of the night sky is in the backdrop, we can see the glow of the Milky Way. Now, you won't see that if you're in a city setting, but if you happen to be looking at this from far away from city lights in a country setting in the mountains in a desert, you'll have the glow of the Milky Way, which is shining right through Canis Major, behind Sirius, right alongside Orion itself, and right up through Auriga and the bright star Capella overhead. In fact, when you look up at Capella, it's sometimes called the galactic anti-center. What does that mean? That means that if you were to look toward the middle of our Milky Way, you're looking toward the galactic center. You can see that in the summer. But in the wintertime, it's not above the horizon, it's below the horizon. And what's above the horizon, right up where Capella is, if you will, the opposite point. When you look toward that direction, you're looking out away from the center of our galaxy, which personally I think is quite cool. So there you have it. That's a snapshot of what you can see around the night sky in the winter, late winter going into spring. And one more thing I want to add to this whole experience is, let's go back to those binoculars. It's fun to look through them. With a little optical aid, you can see so much deeper into the sky. You can see so much more richness. But it even gets better if you use a telescope. And not everyone has a telescope, but I'll tell you who does. People like me who are in astronomy clubs. And many, many astronomy clubs, wherever you live, you can look one up that's local to where you are. They often put on what are called star parties for the public, where people bring out their telescopes and set them up in some place like we do here in Munich, right here in the Wernerkavisa where I'm standing right now. And you can go out and meet up with other people and look through the telescopes and see really extraordinary things in the night sky. So, for example, if you do live in Munich, I can tell you right now, you go to the Volkssternwarte München website. You click at a link called Der Verein, which means the club. You drop down to the Arbeitsgemeinschaften, the groups, the working groups. And you find a group called Straßenastronomie. That's what I run, where we set up star parties from April through October, about once a month. So if you are interested and you live in Munich, you can sign up to that. And as I said, in other cities and other parts of the world, you just find your local astronomy club, and many times they will offer public viewing, public star parties. And when astronomy people get together as a group, it can be very, very rewarding. I highly recommend it. So let me say thank you. I hope you had a chance to seize the moment to take advantage of this podcast outside where you could look into the sky and tour with me. I'll do more of these tours here on the podcast series on Translunar, and I look forward to narrating your way around the night sky through the seasons of the year. My name is Paul Salazar, and for the Folksternwarte and the Translunar podcast, thanks for listening.